We love to have Mike Dettelier on. Unfortunately, sometimes when I say things that are outlandish or ignorant, he'll yell at me. And Mike Dettelier joins us right now, WWL NFL and analyst and college football expert. Mike, I know you don't mean it nasty, but you know sometimes I can elicit a response from you that is rather loud.
Yeah.
You don't suffer fools gladly, I guess. But listen to this. I'm going to start it right here so you can start screaming at me right away.
Okay.
I don't think the game's going to be as close as people are saying. I think the Saints are going to, again, not like Sheldon Rankin say, I don't think that they can beat the crap out of everybody. But I think it's not going to be as close as people say. I'm looking at a 10-14 point margin here. Go ahead and scream at me. Oh, do you?
I agree.
Wow. Tell me why I didn't mess up this time.
No, because you agree with me, so I'm not gonna.
Could we play the tape back? It seems as though I said it first. No, but tell me why, seriously.
I see the weaknesses in the Eagles secondary that the Saints can take advantage of. If you watched the game last week, and I've watched the Eagles play, the weakest part of their team is in the secondary, and the Saints took advantage of it in November. Personnel-wise, you basically the same. So why is that going to change? And you one-dimensional on the offensive side of the football. I know Darren Sproles is back in the lineup, but this isn't a team known for their power running game. They had it a year ago. Jay Ajayi, who's a really good back, he got hurt during the season, didn't play much. And LeGarrette Blount, who was a really good short yardage, red zone type runner, he cashed in the Super Bowl and stuff, and he went to Detroit and played rather average there. So they don't have that. One of the things to watch, Tommy, is that it was interesting because of the short week. We got kind of thrown the Drew Brees show on the Monday night. And Drew brought up that the Eagles were the first team that had double covered Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. And I thought that was kind of rather strange that somebody hadn't tried that before. Mm-hmm. But he brought up it was the first time he told his receivers, hey, listen, guys, just get open. I'll get you the football. The X factor here becomes Ted Ginn Jr. Because I think Jim Schwartz is going to try that again. It didn't necessarily work against the Eagles, but everybody else has done it since that game and had some measure of success against the Saints in doing it. At least it slowed them down. And so that gives one-on-one. Now, remember, Ginn didn't play in that game. Mm-hmm. And Tre'Quan Smith did and caught 10 passes. So watch what happens with Ted Ginn Jr., because I think he becomes a guy that if you're going to do that again, which I suspect they will, you got the veteran going up against some guys that haven't seen a lot of NFL experience. And I always am a big believer in come playoff time, it's about pressure, putting pressure on the quarterback. And we know what we're going to get from Cam Jordan. He's one of the elite players in this game. And Sheldon Rankins and David Onyemata have done a good job putting pressure in the middle. But Marcus Davenport isn't a rookie anymore. He's played enough games in this league. This is why you gave up all the capital you did last April to get him. For him to play big in these type outings, and so watch what happens with Davenport and what type of factor he becomes now in January and hopefully in February, because you gave up a lot to get him in round one in 2018. Time to turn up the needle a little bit on the dial.
We got offensive linemen, just about all five of them were limited, but I got to believe maybe the only guy would be the one with the pectoral. Who's that, the Armstead?
Armstead, yeah. And the other guy to watch is Andres Pete because of the hand injury.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think those two guys, if there's a concern, that's it. Because if you're healthy up front, you got one of the best units in the game, but you're not. And how effective those two guys are going to be with those type injuries, with Pete with the hand injury and Armstead with the pectoral muscle injury. So we'll see. They're going up against a pretty salty front with the Eagles. But if you give Drew time to throw the football, good gracious. I saw how they got spun around by the Bears receivers. That should play a big part in the Saints. And that's why I think they'll win this game, like 31-17.
Wow.
I think they win it, and they win it by more than 10. Because of that, that deficiency is there. You know, and everybody is all, you know, in an uproar because of Nick Foles, and God bless him. He's had a great run. But eventually, the 12 o'clock hour hits for Cinderella. You know, and for him, I think that that time hits Sunday afternoon in the Dome.
Because something, I think people sometimes want what would make a good story to be the story, and that's not the way it always works.
Right?
It comes down to
nothing is ever, very seldom does sports end up being storybook.
It
ended storybook last year for Nick Foles. It really did. For him to do it a second time like he's done it has been unbelievable, but I think it comes to an end Sunday evening.
Mike has already said predicted what, Mike?
31-17 Saints.
17 Saints. I think they're going to win by about 10, but we're going to take your prediction throughout the morning. Real quick, when it comes to gambling, what's the line and what's the over-under?
It's depending on where you gamble, I guess, 9, 9.5. And it's pretty much stayed that way. That's a high number, to be honest with you. But I think it goes to show the respect Vegas has for the Saints. And if you put it any lower, come on, Vegas is not about losing money. It's about balancing the scale. Mm-hmm. They want as much money on the Saints as they have on the Eagles. So to make this where you can get some Eagles money, you got to put it at a high number. Because you put this at 6.5 or 7, it's going to overwhelmingly be the Saints. So,
you know what I wanted to ask you, I'm sorry, Mike, about the whole process is, you know, I hear people say if it's a 3-point spread and then the margin is 3 points, that Vegas gets it pretty close and those guys know. But actually, it's the betting public that kind of decides that, isn't it? Because they move the spread around and balance the book until...
Well, they can, depending on that. But, you know, they put out that early line, and then it gets moved by the amount of money
that
gets gambled. And so there's a little bit of give and take here.
Yeah.
Those guys that do it, and that's a young – let's say young here. Yeah, he's around my age, so he's still a young man. From Thibodeau, who's head of the Wynn Sports Corporation. In essence, they set up the line. And they do this long before the game's even finished with. They have a line set up in case so-and-so gets in. Mm-hmm. This is what it is. And they spend a lot of time and effort doing it. And then it gets controlled by the money flow of who puts their money on whatever. And what they don't want to do is take a bath. So they put it at a number that they feel as though will balance the scales on both sides, and they don't take a pretty good beating. But sometimes it does happen.
All right, let's talk about the other playoff game, NFC, Dallas and L.A. Saints says, first off, how do you see that playing out, and is there one team or the other that the Saints would rather play?
Man, I could care less who wins, but it doesn't make a difference. You got to win 2 games to get to the Super Bowl. But I like the Cowboys here. I know Bobby, he hates me saying that, but it's the truth. I just think the Cowboys are the tougher team. And everybody says, well, Dak ain't won a big game yet. My thing is, tell me when Jared Goff has won one for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
He got his teeth kicked in last year when they played the Falcons. So I like the defense of the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott. And I think the Cowboys win in a close game against the Rams on the coast, and it would set up Saints, Cowboys, NFC Championship game. And all I know is, man, if you would try to get a ticket for that game, you better shell out some heavy-duty money. That is going to be the most coveted ticket maybe ever for a Saints football game that's non-Super Bowl. So I think the Cowboys beat the Rams.
That'd be something to see. All right, on the AFC side, quickly, Chargers, Patriots.
If the Chargers are going to beat them, it's going to be now. I think the Chargers go there and they pull off an upset in a close game.
Wow. And how about the Colts at the Chiefs?
I like the Chiefs, man. Listen, I'm a big Colts fan, but the Chiefs are the better team. So that sets up an AFC West shutdown, so to speak. It's the showdown between the two teams, Chiefs, Chargers, AFC Championship game. And take the over, because believe me, that's going to be a shootout between those two teams.
Patrick Mahomes been in the playoffs before or not?
Well, he's watched. He watched last year, but he hasn't been a starter. And Phillip Rivers has not beaten Tom Brady in a playoff game. So you're fighting a lot of odds here with a young quarterback and an old one who hasn't done it. But I do think that's the showdown.
In terms of stage doing being too big, people have said that about Mahomes. Your thoughts on that?
Man, that's not going to bother Mahomes at all. He's grown up enough. He can handle the big show.
I think that guy could win the decathlon. He's that good of an athlete.
Man, he's something else. And from an arm talent standpoint, they don't have to call a long roll behind him. I mean, he's in a class by himself.
He makes throws that you would not believe. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Tommy.
Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you Monday. Mike Dottiglia, WWL NFL analyst, college football expert.